Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's feeling well as we bring a Metal March in for a landing. Vernomatic here, and I'm making my way back from Nashville as I spent this weekend at the Rockin' Pod. And while I was gone, we had a break-in at the Metal Mayhem ROC Studios. It seems like Metal Walt found the spare keys and got in here and did himself an interview, his very own solo interview with Ron Holzner of Trouble, and he's joined in this project by Carl Agel, former singer of the band Corrosion of Conformity. That's coming up in just a second. I'll get Walt in here, but first just want to remind you to get up to that Metal Mayhem ROC website, sign up for our newsletter, join our community. There you'll get updates on new shows for both the radio show on Monday nights and podcasts, contests, giveaways. Mark Zagatti's up there doing CD reviews. Whenever we go to a live show, we'll have a blog for the live show, so there's some fun stuff there. Get up to the download past shows section. Last week, we had Jarvis Lethierby of Night Demon. A couple weeks ago, Bobby Gustafson of Overkill and Satan's Taint fame, and Steve Riley from Riley's LA Guns. So let me get the culprit on the line from New Jersey. Metal Walt, what's up, man?
Hey, Verno, welcome back from Nashville. Like you said, listen, the journey doesn't end just because one guy goes and does some other work. We are multitaskers, and the pipeline always has to stay filled. Well, so while you were going, I'm setting up new discussions.
I guess so. I guess the fake rock in front of the studios doesn't fool you. So what'd you get involved with while I was gone?
So Ron Holzner and Carl Agel, these guys are staple veterans from that doom metal genre that going back to the early 80s. And they got this new band called Legion of Doom that's about to hit the road in Europe at the big festivals this summer. And it's really honoring the legacy of the late great singer of Trouble and the Skull, Eric Wagner. These guys were extremely emotional about the passing of Eric, because it really happened so quick a couple of years ago. He was on the road and basically passed away because he was an anti-vaxxer. They were kind of torn as to what to do go forward. Ron, being his sidekick and bass player, decided to call his best friends, and it now they're going to have a celebration of his life that's going to be an interesting open-door policy. He mentioned a couple of the guys that are going to be in it now, but he said anybody's open to come in and out, and this thing is going to continue. They have music written with Eric that was never finished. They're going to continue it with Carl singing. They're going to hit the road, and they hope to get out in the States and do a little bit more. So great conversation. And on top of that, they were just really good, expressive guys about their upbringing in the scene and what they've gone through the years and kind of how they see this thing unfolding at the next part of their career. So this one is one we can all relate to, and I know this is going to be an interesting listen.
Yeah, and we're just joking. I did make a cameo appearance in this. It was just that Walt pursued this interview, and I just basically engineered it. So we're just having some fun, but I do make an appearance in that. But this is really Metal Walt's little journey, if you will. That's how we are here, man. You know, it's... When I'm gone, the guys pick it up.
Next man up mentality, as they say.
There you go. All right, well, so let's get into this. For Metal Walt, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Ron and Carl, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC. Congratulations on the announcing of this new killer supergroup. Legion of Doom. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Doing awesome. I'm assuming you're calling in from Chicago?
Absolutely, man.
So quick question. Cubs or White Sox?
White Sox.
Oh, man. My 14-year-old, he's a diehard Cubs fan. I'm hoping to get out there this summer and visit what? Wrigley for the first time with
Not your him. Fault, right? If you made him a Cubs fan, that's child abuse, man.
I actually, over to the left of me, I have a picture of Harry Carey that I got out of an old program that says, "This bud's for you," with his picture, and it's framed. So that's in my heavy metal shrine amongst all my metal stuff. So,
Harry's awesome. He's a wonderful guy.
And Carl, where are you located? I see a Iron City beer thing behind you.
That was my technician wife is from Pittsburgh. Yeah, she's in here fixing everything. That can't was her though. I used to love drinking powders when I was up playing there. I love Pittsburgh, but I'm coming at you from Durham, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. Nice to meet you guys both. So, hey, listen, it goes without saying that, you know, the metal family really lost a legend back in the summer of 2021 when Eric Wagner passed away. I mean, for me, it devastated me, and I actually was ready to go see the show when you guys were out on the road with the Obsessed. I was ready down the shore to go to the show in Brooklyn that night and found out that that you guys dropped off the bill, and then shortly after that, he had passed away. So it was a shock to say the least, but, you know, maybe Ron, for you, before we get into Legion of Doom, talk about your relationship and your friendship with Eric and kind of like, what was he like as a person?
Man, we've been together 30 years at the mall. I mean, probably more than that. We didn't get along in all the years of trouble, but when we did a skull, we had the common thing where, because I left the band, then he left the band, and like, then Ole left the band, the original drummer from Trouble. Then we all got together, we played a festival, all three bands that we were in. So we're like, hey, let's start a band, you know, let's jam, let's, and we had a time to sit and hang out. But we became close, like in the whole years of the skull, like writing together, and he became a different person. And I was trying to help him become a better person, you know, because he was a prick in the old days. And we got along, and I'm fucking honest, you know. And we wrote some great music together. And it's like, let's fucking do something for legacy. Let's do something that's going to last for a long time together. And we did the skull, you know, we wrote some great music, and we came really, really close. And losing him that way and that quickly, it was a shock. It made me just take a step back where I quit. I didn't want to play music anymore, you know. And it's funny because that tour, because we were supposed to play in Raleigh, and Carl's new band was supposed to play with us as well. It's like, then the next couple of days we're going to be in Brooklyn at the Vitus Bar. But we played Austin, and 2 weeks later he was dead. It was really fast and furious, and it took me a while to get my head on my ass and say, hey, I want to play music again. And first person I called was Carl. I said, hey, how would you like to get together and help us do a memorial for Wagner in Chicago? They're doing a show at this place called Reggie's. They're going to do hang a banner of Eric Wagner in rafters. And I said, we want... can you help us put this memorial together and pick bands out? And I'm like, well, how about the Skull just plays and I get a couple of our buddies to help sing? And Carl was my first choice. So that started the whole ball rolling. And
yeah, so it is true then, because I was doing a little research. So you guys, you know, you didn't perform under the name Legion of Doom, but you actually went and played some shows as the Skull with Carl singing, correct?
Yeah, we did the two memorials.
Okay.
For Eric Wagner. First was, you know, as the Skull with Eric or with Carl singing, and we had a local guy, Bruce Lamont, who plays in Zeppelin 2. I don't know if you've seen them, they're great. Yakuza. And we played a second memorial show in the suburbs of Chicago, which was bigger. And Bruce couldn't do it, so we got Scotty from Vitus, Scotty Riegers, who called us and said, I'd really like to be part of this. So he was going to be the second singer. Because, I mean, you can't fill. We were never trying to fill Eric's shoes, get a new singer, and continue to Skull. This was just memorial shows and play the Skull music for people, and it was going to be the end. And Scotty came aboard, and during rehearsals, we started playing Vitus songs. We started playing CLC songs. It was like, we're having fun, you know, because we went through the first one, which was hell. It was just a very emotional, draining show. The second one, it was more like us moving on, you know, for a lot of people as well, you know, in the Chicago area. It was healing and acceptance and like, okay, Eric's gone, and what are you doing now? You know, so we actually supported ourselves. We wanted to play as a different band before the Skull and play the different songs, like the CLC and the Vitus songs. So we came up with Legion of Doom. We're like, let's call ourselves Legion of Doom. Just sounds like it's a fun name. Let's just do it, you know? And we did that and played before the Skull. And next thing you know, Europe Festivals wanted Legion of Doom to play. So all of a sudden we were booked to Hellfest and Graspop, two of the biggest metal fests in Europe. We're like, hey guys, I guess we're a band.
That's amazing, and that is a testament to you guys, because that, I mean, Graspop may be the biggest metal festival, maybe outside of Wacken.
Absolutely.
I work for a European company out of Belgium, and I know I have colleagues that have gone to Graspop every year, and they say it's just like a totally killer environment.
Right. It is. Yeah, that and Hellfest, too. Yeah. Wonderful, great, huge hell, you know, metal fest, and they wanted us to play. So we're like, okay, let's do this, you know. So I thought it would end with the Skull, and it just kind of continued into us. We just morphed into Legion of Doom.
And who are the other guys in the band? So you're carrying your other Skull members with you?
Yeah, no, this is Lothar Keller, the guitar player that me and him wrote all the music in the Skull. And we had Henry Vasquez on drums, who played in St. Vitus with Scott Riegers.
Yep.
But he was with the Skull at the time as well. So he continues with us. And right now, like, we had Victor Griffith from Pentagram, who was going to play with us for a little bit, but he all of a sudden went back to Pentagram, which...
Full time, man.
That happens, you know, let him play in his band. But we got Scott Little, who played in Leadfoot with Carl years ago. We did this thing, Blind, a tribute to the Blind record from the CLC days with Reed Mullen as well back then. So we got Scott playing with us, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, it keeps evolving. Every couple of weeks, something else changes, and it's but right now we're moving forward with this, and we'll be playing a bunch of Vitus songs, a bunch of CLC Blind songs, probably throws maybe a Leadfoot song in, Skull, Trouble. It's going to be interesting, you know.
Carl, how do you feel about all this? Are you excited for the opportunity?
I'm pretty excited. You know, I got to be honest. When Ron reached out to me, he mentioned earlier that the first show of my new band that I was launching, Lie Heavy, which is, you know, still a current band, and we're about to put out our first record. But that we were nascent. We were getting together. We were really excited because, and old friends were coming through town. You know. The Skull and the Obsessed coming through, and we're super excited to play. And then honestly, they didn't show up, as you well know. And in fact, I got really, really sick, caught my version of it, and I was fortunate enough to make it through that. And I got the bad news while I was laying there sick and what had happened, and you know, everything went quiet. And then 9 months later, when Ron decided to do the tribute thing and then make it to revisit things and come back to it and get perspective, I was absolutely blown away to get that phone call. And, you know, someone terrified too, because I was a huge fan of Eric's. I was always I've loved his lyrics, his approach, everything. And it's not only, you know, a fan, I've been up on stage when Trouble came through back in the day, and I was at COC. I remember they were up there for, Danzig and Raleigh, you know, and I went up and sang Helter Skelter with Eric, you know, like shit like that, you know, like hanging out with all those guys so many different times. So long story short, I was humbled and blown away, and I'm still super excited. And I just, you know, we did that first show and it worked, you know, it wasn't contrived or weird. It was real. And everybody in the room, and you know, including Eric's kids, his four kids, his ex-wife, his girlfriend, and a ton of just old timers that have watched him play in every version of every band he'd been in. I thought they were going to be throwing beer bottles at me, but it was not that moment at all. It was quite the reverse. And where everyone said, hey, Eric would be proud of you right now. He's watching you. But, you know, like I was like, I'm tearing up just thinking about it. And it was a really cool moment. We decided to proceed. And then we realized, hey, why not? We all have something that we've been a part of over the years, and we can bring it and do it together and just be excited about it, you know? And it's okay. We're allowed to play all this stuff and write new stuff. It's okay to carry on.
Absolutely. And the catalog of material from all of your bands is just totally incredible. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but you know, to me, the genre of doom metal, call it what you want, it's legendary. There's roots back to the Sabbath days. There's the stuff in the 80s. There's the current bands that are carrying the torch forward. I mean, it's just, it's a kind of music that people love to get out and celebrate. Just curious, on that show that you did perform at Reggie's, what was the crowd like? I mean, were they right along there just into it and, you know, right with you guys supporting it?
Yeah, it was very emotional. I mean, people were crying. It was trippy. It was, you know, for all of us, because I mean, they had the banner hanging of Eric Wagner, and we're staring at it while we're playing. You know, it was like, fuck, you know, we're rocking, looking at him and the whole crowd. It's like they could tell, it was a good feel thing, but it was a healing thing for a lot of people. You know, it's like an acceptance that, okay, he's gone. Here's the band he was in that we're used to seeing him, and the family and everybody were, it's a rock and roll memorial. And it really went off well. And we all, it was emotionally draining. I mean, but it was a very good night, and everybody was supportive, and everybody was saying, you guys should continue to play. You know, and they all came with me and said, you should keep playing, because they, you know, they see I was just like, I was a wreck, you know? I'm like, I don't know if I want to continue to play this stuff. And they're like, this is your songs? Play it, you know? We want to hear his lyrics sung. We want to hear the music. We want to hear the melodies. This is something that can't just stop. It also, everybody was so supportive, and it's like, and it kind of like kicked me in the ass and catapulted this forward, you know?
So just how do you assemble a set list for these shows, right? You get out there, you do an hour and a half at Grass Pop or something, right? Like, you got to do 15, 16 songs. How do you put that together?
I'm already working at it, trying to, like, you know, we got like three, trying to put like, okay, well, four Vitus songs, four COC songs, four Trouble songs, four Skull songs. That's 16. That's good. And you know, kind of, we, it's going to be tough, but we're going to do it to whatever's the best for the set. We're going to probably learn five of every band just to mix it up, and cover songs, and just stuff to cover the whole basis, and have, we, it's basically about us having fun ourselves, you know, and we're going to make sure everybody, because you can't hear Vitus songs live anymore. There's no more Vitus. So having Scotty and Henry playing these Vitus songs, we're going to pick, you know, four good songs that represent them two guys. And the same thing to COC Up the Blind record. And we're going to, it's going to be a good set, man. I got almost the whole set list written, but it like, I'll wake up the next day, I'm like, wow, we tried this, you know? And I like, we haven't started rehearsals yet. So as soon as we start rehearsals, we're going to start tweaking it. Cause like right now we got a couple Skull shows coming up, which is bizarre. Cause if you were still getting booked as a Skull with Carl singing, so we're just doing all Skulls, you know, it's mainly Skull with, you know, some Trouble stuff. So people still want to hear that. So we got like three festivals coming up as the Skull. So that's kind of like threw us for a loop. Like, okay, we're going to continue this as well. And then we're going to do this too. So it's tricky. We got a lot of songs to learn, a lot of songs to remember, and them little brain cells we have left rumbling around up in our head. We're gonna be kicking them.
If I can ask, it's obviously the European tour circuit. They always seem to draw the killer acts, and then us as Americans, you look and you go, "Oh fuck, man, why isn't that coming around here?" I mean, I'm a New York, New Jersey guy. I would love to see this group come through the St. Vitus bar in Brooklyn or anywhere else. You guys thinking of maybe doing select shows around the country if the time is right?
Dude, I was just at the Vitus Bar last week, man.
I came in for the week,
man. Came in to see Pigs.
I saw that advertised. I didn't know who the hell they were.
I saw them at Desert Fest in Germany last year. Great. It's this punk, stoner, crazy band. It's just, they're just electric, you know? And my wife and I, let's just go to New York for a weekend, fuck around and go see some shows. We got a hotel right around the corner from Vitus Bar, and the next night was Nebula and Atomic Bitchwax. So I went to both shows, you know.
Wow.
So it's fun. I love that place. But yeah, we're just booking the festivals around the country, around the world, basically, until we start working on a new record, which we're going to be doing this summer. And then I think next year we're going to be busy. Really do.
So you just took the words out of my mouth. So you guys are going to go out and write new material.
Well, yeah, we already got three quarters of the record written. I mean, we had the new Skull. We wrote the new Skull record with Eric. We got five songs with his lyrics, which is crazy. So we're going to let Carl and Scotty sing his lyrics, but come up with the melodies and, it's going to be like a split Skull record and Legion of Doom, because the new songs are going to be Legion of Doom, because we can't really write as a Skull anymore. So it's going to be a split album of pretty much the same band, but doing different things, you know. It's going to be a Skull Legion of Doom record. And that should be done, and I'd say by spring, you know. I know it takes so long now to get a record out. But we're going to be recording this summer. So, but we hopefully release a couple singles this summer.
That would be.
Yeah, that's the plan, is to get a couple single tracks out there as they make sense to be put out there.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, guys. You guys got a nice vision forward. You're not letting go of the past, but you're carrying it forward, and that's an honorable thing to do. And as fans of your kind of music, man, this gives me goosebumps and exciting. I can't wait to hear this stuff. So really appreciate the update on Legion of Doom. So let's take a little time to have some fun. Maybe we do a little heavy metal history, go down memory lane. So we'll talk a little bit about it, guys. I mean, Ron, you know what? Let's talk the Trouble Days, right? I mean, you played in the band from, if I have it right, 1986 through 2002. You performed on four albums. Run to the Light was the first one. For me, the album Trouble, this is where I cut my teeth on Trouble. This was 1990. I mean, I'll never forget the song At the End of My Days and Psychotic Reaction. I was able to catch you guys at L'Amour opening up for Sabotage, September 1990. That was the only one of two times I've seen Trouble play. But I do remember you guys getting exposure on MTV at that time, and it got you a little into the spotlight there. So talk a little bit about that period, like the late 80s, early 90s there.
I mean, it's like having signed into Rick Rubin, you know, and Deaf American was huge, a big deal. I mean, from the Run to the Light from Metal Blade, and it's like following in the steps of Slayer, because they went from Metal Blade to Rick Rubin's Deaf American. And we were like, okay, this is great, you know? And it brought us to forefront, and it working with Rick Rubin, we learned how to write songs a lot better, produce a record a lot better. It's like that first Trouble record on Deaf American was just, it's incredible. I mean, I just listened to it the other day, just to listen to it. I'm like, damn. You know, it's like we're our heads, man. That was amazing when we came up with that. And it's like playing them songs. To me, still to this day, it's exciting to play it for people, and they love it. So we're gonna, you know, be playing a bunch of them songs. I'd like to really concentrate on that album to play with Legion of Doom, because I'm so proud of that record. You know, and it's like at that time, it's like L'Amour. I mean, God, I remember playing. I played L'Amour East when it was they had two of them. They won in Brooklyn, not the one in the. No, it's Queens. That was the other one. But the one, yeah, you're L'Amour. Yeah, where the guy from Biohazard, he was the security guy at the back door. The main dude, Evan from Biohazard. He's like, I remember always like loading in. Like, hey, what's up? What he was like, and Nelson, he's like fucking on movies and shit like that. It's like, you know, but that L'Amour was always, I think we played there with Danzig as well, but that was a wonderful, wonderful time. And we played some of the best clubs around the world on MTV. We met everybody you could think of, man. It was just, it was a trip, you know, it really was. Really a cool, good time. I mean, the 80s hair metal was going on, and they're looking at us like, you guys are great. I wish we could be like you. You know, we'd meet them in the bar, you know, in between lines and beer and whatever the fuck we were doing. But they're like, wow, you guys are real. I mean, you got the holy jeans, leather jackets, and we have to do this, but you guys are real. And it's like, well, come on, you know. These guys are all fucking millionaires and shit. And it's like, yeah, but whatever. It was a wonderful, wonderful time, man. I met a lot of cool people that I'm still friends with today, you know.
It was, it's funny. John and I do on one of our content series, we do a history of heavy metal. And we've gone from 1972 up until 1991 already, and we're continuing it. And I will tell you, every time a Trouble album comes on the list, you know, he and I and our co-host Ian, it always gets a shout out, because you're right. It doesn't fall into the normal top 10, 15 bands of those eras, but it is still great, strong material. So it held up over time.
I have a comment. It was Evan Seinfeld from Biohazard. It was that last name. And I'm up here in Rochester, New York. I remember seeing you guys at the Penny Arcade.
Oh, all right. I remember that place.
Yeah, back in the day. And that was like the early stuff. And Rochester was that big, you know, we're not New York, but we have that rich history. I believe you guys may have even done an in-store up at the Lakeshore Record Exchange. Is there?
Probably.
We got the great, great House of Guitars. But
yeah, I was about to mention that. That place is like the holy grail of a show. Man,
yeah, the house is great, but the Lakeshore Record Exchange was right down the street from the Penny Arcade. The arcade's down on the water, and they went hand in hand. So, but when you guys were taking this walk down heavy metal memory lane, I just wanted to ask you about that one. So, fond memories of the rock,
Rochester. I think the first time we played here was with Danzig.
Okay,
that's the first time I ever had chicken wings.
From God,
I swear to God, they brought these fucking platters of this shit, and was like, what is this? You know, they're like, they're buffalo wings. Or like, I don't know, buffaloes had wings, you know. It's like, but it was in Rochester, so I didn't have them in Buffalo, I had them in Rochester, and it was like, these are amazing, you know. And it was like years later that they finally came to Chicago, but in Rochester at the Penny Arcade with Danzig, we had the first buffalo wings, man.
Well, good.
Wonderful moment.
All right, I'll go back to the dugout.
Hey, Carl, how about you around that time? It's funny thinking about the first time I saw COC. I was actually vacationing in Minneapolis visiting another fellow music lover, and it came through the club called First Avenue, and it was COC, Danzig, and Soundgarden. It was a 5 o'clock show. I'll never forget it. Started at 5 o'clock and was over my nine. And I think it was the tour you were supporting Blind. So talk a little bit about that album and that tour in your early years there.
Wow. So that album, we tracked it in 91. for Relativity. It actually was released November 5th. I remember this for some reason, 91. Came out and had pretty good reaction, but we were still, you know, Relativity was still kind of like a kind of a heavy-duty indie label, but didn't quite have the clout that they would get later. But we started scoring some really good tours. And the first one we were even, the album came out while we were out with Prong and Bulla Volta. I remember that. And after about 6 weeks, and then we started jumping around and hitting dates in Europe and back in the U.S. Actually, prior to all that, we had toured with Danzig and Soundgarden the summer of 90, even before we had a couple of the songs written, but I did 6 weeks with them. So the band had obviously a huge, crazy legacy. And for all the old hardcore punk fans that were kind of confused with the Blind album, we won over a whole lot of new fans that we were kind of did the ultimate kind of crossover thing, embracing not only our past with, you know, the like Bad Brains, Black Flag, but merging Deep Purple, Sabbath, you know, into the thing. And it was this weird swirl. So somehow it worked. And also we got to remember that the early 90s was a time when you could go see Faith No More with Voivod, you know what I mean? Or Primus with Public Enemy. You know, it was a kind of a weird, interesting time where there were no rules for some of these tours. So yeah, we got out there and, you know, like the summer of 92, we did 6 weeks of the Maiden and then 5 weeks of Rollins Band back to back, you know, straddling, you know, our punk rock hardcore thing with combined with total big metal scene, you know? So it was amazing. We were lucky. We kind of morphed it all together and yeah, holy shit. All over the place, you know? Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the only one I didn't sing. Thank you very much, but that's all right.
You should have.
No, it's all right. Yeah, yeah. No, it was what it was. And that was one of the songs that came out. That was, you know, obviously the second single was Dance of the Dead first, and then Bullet the Bullet. And it made an impact. And then, you know, things didn't last forever for me, but I was proud of what I did in that time I had. Bassist and I split off to do Leadfoot. For better, for worse, you know, it was what we had to do. So three albums on that. And here we are today, you know, still doing the thing, man. So it's cool.
So, hey, Ron, you know, I want to give a little love and shout out to the two Skull albums, right? You had the releases for Those Which Are Asleep and The Endless Road Turns Dark. So I'm hoping that in your set list this summer, you pull out a couple of my favorites, and I was spinning them a little bit tonight. You know, the Endless Road Turns Dark, the song, and of course, As the Sun Draws Near. Totally fucking killer, heavy riffs, down tuned, man. I was eating dinner with my kids downstairs and they're like, "What the hell are you listening to, Dad?" You know? But
those songs are amazing.
Shout out. Amazing.
Endless Road. I know we're definitely gonna be doing that. That is Sun Turned Dark. Dead is a sun. Is that right? Forget how they all are. The Endless Road Turns Dark. Yeah, we're definitely gonna play with Legion Doom. But as a sun, oh man,
as the sun draws near, that's a hard one.
That's a hard song. It's like it was the one we Lothar and I started on the record, and it ended as like we. The longest one to finish. But it's funny because the beginning, I wrote this part for my cat. Swear to God. Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's a trip because I couldn't tell Eric because he would have been really pissed. You know, I wrote this little part for my cat, and that's how the intro of that song started. And the cat loved it, you know, and I played it for Lothar. He's laughing. He's like, sounds like a little cartoon, like a cartoon song for a cat. I go, well, I did. I wrote it for my cat. He's like, Eric will hate it. That's awesome. Let's put it in. You know? So we would try to write songs to piss off Eric. And we put that in, and he flipped the switch on us and loved it, you know. So as the sun draws nearer, That's a dear song to me. It's hard. You know, I'd like to possibly maybe include that with the Legion of Doom, but we're definitely going to play it with the Skull in the near future. Song, so yeah, you'll hear it. It depends on where we are, because I know we're going to do something awesome at the Vitus Bar this fall. We're going to do possibly Eric Wagner Memorial, because we need to do one on the East Coast. And I think we should do one at the Vitus Bar and have a version of both bands play. So I think we will get the whole set list.
That sounds amazing. And Metal Mayhem ROC will be there to support you.
We'll let you know. We'll
get you t-shirts and hats, and you can go up on stage with all that stuff. And
I'd welcome it. Yeah, that sounds good. I think we need to do it.
Is this a binding verbal contract here?
Yeah, this is a non-binding agreement. I'm in business development for my real career, so a verbal agreement counts if it holds up in the court of law.
I think we need to do it.
Listen, that's a place you're supposed to play. The Obsessed rolled through there a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to the show, but bands like you guys, that's where they have to play. Bottom line.
I think we should do the next Eric Wagner Memorial, definitely, and have both bands play for sure. I think we can do it.
So talking about those guys, makes me think of like the other Doom legends, like Scott Weinrich and Bobby Liebling. I mean, you guys friends with these guys or any thought to have these kinds in and out of Legion of Doom?
I'm friends with all of them. The Doom Society, the Doom thing is a small little family. And we've all been hanging out for years, man. What the fuck? What was that?
My daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, she hangs these little monkey things on my walls.
Awesome. That is so cool. Good for you. Yeah. That's so cool. No, but we're going to incorporate different weird things with Legion of Doom, because everybody is in other bands. So it's going to be one of them things where if you can't do it, we're going to have somebody else fill in for a little bit. You know, it's not going to be a binding thing, because I mean, Carl's going to get real busy with his new band. Mm-hmm. You know, Scotty, he's got like 20 kids or something like that. I don't know. I've been talking to him. He just called a while ago. I'm going to talk to him, but it could revolve around, you know, it's like Victor just wants to back the Pentagram, so they're going to play some shows, and it's inevitable they're going to fight and break up again, and then get one or the other ones to play, or both. We'll grab Bobby and Victor and say, hey, let's play some Pentagrams up and Legion of Doom, you know.
Bobby's an amazing person. I'll give you my one funny story with Bobby. I was going to Sweden Rockfest on my own, 2012. I was leaving at a Newark airport.
Nice.
And guess who's on my plane? Bobby Liebling. And he's smoking he's got an unlit cigarette in the Newark airport hanging out of his mouth. And I say hi to him and introduce myself. He sees my camera bag. He says, hey, man, do you think you could shoot photos for me this weekend? I said, absolutely. Yeah, no problem. You know, he puts me on the guest list. I get up there to the festivals 10 hours later. I don't know who you are. You didn't put on the guest list. I took pictures anyway.
Bobby.
But St. Vitus played at that. Dave Chandler was out of his mind. I don't know what he was on tripping, but he was all over the place.
Hey, I got a question. If we're talking old school Doom guys, any of that new wave of British heavy metal bands, Witchfinder General, Satan, any of those, the turn of the decade kind of Doom bands, were you guys into the overseas Doom guys?
I mean, Witchfinder General, I covered one of their songs, Earth and Grave. I like them. They were cool as hell. Satan, they're on Metal Blade with us, I do believe. So I did have their record, but I don't know much about them because I listen to Motown. I don't really listen to metal.
Oh, okay.
But you know, so it's like all these bands that I would only meet on tour, and it's usually I meet them as friends before I actually listen to their bands. So it's not like me listening to band and all of a sudden go, hey, it's cool. It's like I usually listen after the fact. It's like, yeah, I'm really good friends with Enslaved, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't really listen to their music, but I'm good friends with all the guys in the band. You know, so Girdle, he's coming to Chicago in a few weeks, so I can't wait to see him. But it's one thing, I just don't listen to that stuff.
Got you.
I know them all. It's a trip. It's weird. Really.
That's what I was saying earlier, like, you know, there's been such a long legacy of doom bands. I mean, you think of bands like, you know, of course, the Forefathers or Black Sabbath, Geezer Butler's playing. And it's funny, right as I pulled in the lot tonight to come on the air on XM Radio was Sleeping Village, and totally killer song. You got bands like Candlemass, you know, Sleep. And then you got these newer bands like Pallbearer, Monolord, Electric Wizard right. as a female singer, you know, really, really carrying that torch forward. So it's the kind of music that's going to stick around.
And I'm friends with all of them. So it's like, I got stories about all of them. And it's like, Electric Wizard, I'm really good friends with. Liz, the guitar player, as a matter of fact, I've known her for years. She was in a band with our drummer, Henry, called Sour Vein, years ago. So
I went to college with her.
Oh, you went to college with Liz?
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Electric Wizard is awesome.
It's awesome.
Or Lori from Acid cool. King. I mean, it's a small community. We all know each other.
Yeah. What about you guys have any exposure or experiences through the years with the Sabbath guys, the forefathers of doom metal? Have you toured any with them or run into them at festivals, anything like that?
I've met them all differently in different situations. We never got a chance to tour with them. I know, like, I'm good friends with Mike Board and Puffy, from the drummer from Faith No More. He played with Sabbath. Yeah. You know, he's like, inviting me down. He's like, you got to come and say hello, you know, to these guys. I'm like, I'll get you backstage. I'm like, sure, I want to see fucking Sabbath, you know. So it's like, I think it was in Indianapolis. I drove down there and he got me backstage and we're hanging out. And he brought me, he's like, you want to meet the Sabbath guys? I'm like, hell yeah, you know, walk in the door. And Tony was the first one right there. He's like, hey, well, he looked at me like, I know you. Like, because I met him a few different other times, which I get other stories. But then Ozzy and Sharon, they walked by and they hello. And then Geezer, I walked up to Geezer. I'm like, okay, I'm finally going to meet Geezer. It's my hero. This is a guy who I had blamed what I'm doing. I'm going to meet this guy, but I have to say something clever, something just to fuck with them so I don't flip out, you know? So I had in my mind exactly what I'm going to say to him. I walk up to him. He's like, hey, you know, Puffy introduced us. This is my friend Ron from Trouble. And, you know, I go to your scene. He's like, Trouble? Like, the Trouble? I'm like, The Trouble? He's like, yeah, I got both your guys' records, man. The one record sounds a lot like us. The other one's a little different. And I'm like, and I turned around and walked out of the ring. Dude, I'm going to meet, you know, no. That's the first thing I said to him when he walked in, I go, you know, it's like, you're the guys have been stealing my riffs. That's what the first thing I said, just to fuck with them. Then he's like, you know, who are you? Then, you know, I said, Ron from Trouble. And that's when he said, The Trouble. And he's not supposed to know my band, not supposed to know me, not supposed to listen to me. And it just fucked me up so much where I couldn't deal with it. And, you know, Pantera was on the same tour. So I just walked out of the room, went in the room and started drinking whiskey with Dimebag. I'm like, I couldn't deal with it. I'm like, this is my hero who had my records and listened to me and knew them. And I couldn't fathom it. I just could not, you know, I just, to this day, I'm like, God, I could have sat here and talked to this dude for fucking hours. But it's just, no, I'm the dude who played in my bedroom, rocking out the Black Sabbath to this guy. And that's where my mentality was, not him listening to me. Yeah. You know, so it was really a weird, weird moment that to this day it still chokes me out, man. You know, so it's like kind of like, hey, I must have, is that your version of making it, that this dude heard your music? You know, that's fucking cool, man. That's but every one of them I met were cool as fuck. Bill Ward was in the Trouble Running the Light video, a drummer. And he came out to see us play with St. Vitus on the last tour to Skull. And Tony, I met, God, countless times. But Man, it just that teaser one. It's just, I wish I could have just sat and talked with them all night. I know I could have, but it just, I couldn't deal with it.
We let Leadfoot actually open up for Sabbath, the original lineup.
No,
it was on a side stage, but the main stage was, it was us, and then they moved it. Then it was Drain SDH.
And
that Sabbath reunion thing when they first came back together. But I can always say technically we opened for him, you know. But that's when Tony was dating one of the girls from SDH.
Yep.
I remember that. But we had access, full access and stuff, but, you know, it was massive sold out show in a huge arena in Raleigh, North Carolina at Walnut Creek. But I met Geezer at a Foundations Forum in like 1990 or something like that, and across paths, but that's about it. But that's my meager experience, but at least there is one. Well, that was cool.
It ties it all together, man. It's that was the beginnings of it up to the plans for 2023. So guys, we really appreciate having you on. Before we let you go, Carl, I know, you know, you talked about how you have some links to the Jersey scene. So talk about some of the music you're making one of the musicians up by me.
No. I would be remiss, and also Dan Lorenzo of, you know, Hades Nonfiction, Cassius Clay, on and on and on. I mean, Cassius Kidd, not Cassius Clay. That's Muhammad Ali. Asked me a couple of years ago to do a Patriarchs in Black thing, and he's tried and true Jersey guy, and so it was really cool being invited to do that with him and Johnny Kelly from Typo Negative and White Riot and, you know, a million different bands he plays in on drums. So that was killer, and we're going to do two more tracks for another release with that. So yeah, man, Jersey, big time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, and guys, I also got just the other guys in my local band, and based out of Raleigh, North Carolina, is called Lie Heavy, and we're just mastering, and we just mixed and mastered our new album, so it's going to come out. It's going to be called Bird of the Moon, and we don't know which label's going to do that yet, so if I didn't mention that, I would be summarily executed as well, so yeah.
Well, this is your time to plug anything you want, so... But guys, this was a real pleasure for us on the air. We got a lot of insight on you guys as people, musicians, your legacy, your history, and we hope to have you guys bound on the show again sometime. So, John, you'd like to come on and say goodbye?
I think Lance covered a lot of it. I really enjoyed it. If you do get that St. Vitus gig, I'll be coming down, because I take trips from Rochester. We hang out with Lance 3 or 4 times a year. So we look forward to that. I am going to invite you just to stay on after you say goodbye, and maybe we could exchange emails and stuff.
Absolutely. I'm fine. I'm for years.
Absolutely. Anything to make this better for everybody involved. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Stay safe, and I'll let Lance say goodbye.
Cheers, bro. Nice to meet you.
You too, man.
Really cool to meet you guys.
So, yeah, so we just got to get your contact information, emails, whatever you feel comfortable sharing. You know, we'll jot it down. We kind of keep a little database of emails for all the artists so that, you know, we can hit you up directly from time to time, you know?
Please drunk, do. Call me in the middle of the night, whatever you got to do.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Listen.
What are you wearing?
The company I work for has an office out by you somewhere, Ron. So if I'm out that way, I'm reaching out to you. We're going to go out and have a couple
of
beers.
We'll go out, man. Hell yeah.
What the hell town's it in? Oh, God. I was just out there in January. It's over by O'Hare somewhere. You know, it's funny, Ron. You'll get a kick out of this. When I told you, I was there last month, and it was Groundhog's Day, and I had no idea there was that big groundhog celebration out in wherever the Bill Murray movie was shot. It was like
Woodstock.
Yeah, it was all over the news.
That's huge. Crazy, man.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell, man? You know, we got Punxsutawney Phil out here in PA, but that was quite the thing. They were drinking beers at 7 in the morning. It was like 5 degrees out. Pretty cool.
That's Chicago every day.
Hey, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing.
Look at the Bears game.
Exactly. All right, guys, we got a split, man. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, bro.
All right, guys. See you.
Bye.
Yeah, man.
Bye.
Metal for life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.